Would you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3? Since we're talking about labor and work, let's go right to the beginning here. And, you know, chapter 3 is all about the fall and what happened as a result and that kind of thing. Just looking at a few verses on this Labor Day weekend, Genesis chapter 3, 16 through 19. And I'll unpack this a bit in a little bit. God first starts meting out the judgments, the punishments, starts with the serpent, with the devil. And then in verse 16, he says to the woman, to Eve, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, right, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband. That's a very interesting Hebrew word I want to talk about, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife, you ate the fruit from the tree which I commanded you, that you must not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil or labor, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. Sounds like some of your gardens currently, right? By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. Oh, cheery. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this Labor Day weekend. Thank you again for the thousands, the millions of laborers throughout our country's history that has helped make our country prosperous and great. And Lord, we honor them this weekend, and especially tomorrow. We thank you both for the laborers themselves, as well as the goodness of work, Lord, as you've called us to work. And Lord, we just ask you, as we always ask you, for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear, everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things always and only through Jesus, our Savior and Lord, saying, amen. So the three-day weekend, as you know, in the Labor Day weekend, is traditionally understood as the unofficial end of the summer in the United States, and that carries to Canada as well. And it's sort of the last hurrah before the kids are back in school, before we start our busy fall routine of work and life, and all of that begins again. So I thought it'd be good to say a few things about human labor in its various aspects, both the positive as well as the negative. And you know I'm a word nerd. The word labor comes from Latin. It implies struggle, suffering, and hardship, maybe even old plain wear and tear. It seems a little negative, doesn't it? Now, if you look at the Bible, the Hebrew as well as the Greek words in the Bible for this all have a similar meaning. Again, human beings have experienced toilsome labor as part of our lot ever since the disobedience of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. Now, I've heard some people over the years complain about this, and they say this is very American because we're such individualists, right? It's not fair that we have to labor now as a result of their sin. That's not fair. Americans are always about fairness. And then the mothers or fathers always sometimes say, well, life isn't fair. And here we are, right? But Paul says this clearly, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You might not have eaten that forbidden fruit, but you ate some other forbidden fruit somewhere along the line. I can guarantee that. But this can be disappointing, which reminds me of the time when an 8-year-old girl went with her father on take your kid to work event. Have you ever taken your kids to work? It's sort of a more recent thing in labor, and it can get kind of dicey. As they were walking around the office, this young poor girl, you know, was getting crankier and crankier, and she began to cry and sob, and the dad was like, geez, what, dear, what's the matter? And the entire office staff gathered around her to comfort her, and she finally blubbered loudly, Daddy, where are all the clowns you said you worked with? Oh, kids say the darndest things, remember that? Man, you know, look, you know it's true. All of you have worked over the many years, and you have labored with a variety of clowns, have you not? Mm-hmm. But despite that, and over the years, I realized that I've only rarely talked about labor on Labor Day weekend. And I thought, geez, I better do that this year. So I said to myself, Jim, you clown, start doing some research. You're good at that. About the history of Labor Day in the United States. And it was very interesting what I found out. And that's why I shared you with that little video during offering. Now, in regards to the annual celebration of Labor Day, I went to the U.S. Department of Labor website, and it was very instructive. It said the holiday, as the video said, is rooted in the 19th century when labor activists pushed for a federal holiday to recognize the many contributions of laborers and workers and what they've done for America to increase our strength, prosperity, and well-being. Right? And so what happened was, as the video alluded to, various states started creating and passing laws to create a Labor Day holiday in their respective states. And as a result of that tragedy in the Pullman train area just south of Chicago, on June 28, 1894, Congress made a law to passing an act that the first Monday of each September would be a legal holiday. It was signed into existence by President Grover Cleveland. So that's when all the parades and the food and the speeches, the outdoor games and activities became a longstanding norm for the celebration of Labor Day. While in many churches, the Sunday before Labor Day, it was dedicated to, as the Department of Labor said, the spiritual and educational aspects of the labor movement. So I'm trying to emphasize that a little bit today. Furthermore, Department of Labor says this, American labor has raised the nation's standard of living, has created the greatest production the world has ever known, and the labor movement has brought us closer to the realization of our traditional ideals of economic and political democracy. I mean, just in your own lifetime, have you noticed the changes? We are much, I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way in a time of inflation, but overall, Americans are wealthier and more prosperous and better off, or at least they have the opportunity to, right? Economic prosperity does not necessarily mean emotional and spiritual well-being, though, does it? We can see how that works sometimes, too. Finally, U.S. Department of Labor said, so therefore it's appropriate that the nation pays tribute on Labor Day to the creator of so much of the nation's strength, freedom, and leadership, the American worker, end quote. I notice how they didn't put the Lord in there. A little bit of a problem, right? Well, we know that not every worker labors with such honesty and commitment. You've experienced that in your places of work, kind of like the time when the boss of a young slacker, ever worked with slackers? In a rather loud display cried, this is the third time, here he is. This is the third time you've been late to work this week. Do you know what this means, young man? And the young slacker said, sure, it's only Wednesday. Infuriating the boss, but then smelling something on the young man's breath, his boss said, you can't drink while you're on the job. To which the lazy smart aleck replied, well, I'm not really working anyway, am I? I mean, the stuff that people get away with now. I mean, have you seen this? It's like, especially in the service industry. And they both had a good laugh, and then the young slacker was rightly fired. Amen. Start working. You should be working hard. Well, again, God's declaration of labor goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3 as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience to the Lord. They were both consigned, you could say, to the experience and practice of labor, various kinds, as well as their offspring until the end of time. That sounds rather grim. But Bible scholars call these passages, here's your big word for the day, these kind of passages that we read are called etiological stories. We've talked about this in adult ed. What are etiological stories? Well, they tell us the background and the origin for the kinds of things that we still experience today, right? Right? Definitions of labor, struggle, suffering, hardship, plain old wear and tear. After giving in to the temptation of the devil, consuming that which God had expressly forbidden, Adam and Eve lost the protection and the privilege of living in the Garden of Eden, right? You know the story. You see, God had provided for them everything they could have possibly needed. But as one recent Christian book said, they took the bait of Satan. And what did they do? They questioned the very heart of God himself. Here's the kind of questions that Adam and Eve were really asking when they did what they did. Does God really have our best in mind? Isn't that a lie that Satan implanted? Right? Does God really have the best in mind? What else? You know, can we trust the heart of God? Is God holding out on us something wonderful that he's saying we can't have? You know how this goes, right? Well, it turns out that God was good. He provided for and protected for them. Have you ever noticed the cost of the knowledge of good and evil is very, very steep? I just got to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Really? Have you ever learned things that you wish you hadn't known? Oh, I could have lived my life without knowing that. I wish I could scrub my mind of that thought or that idea. Ooh. Yeah, this is kind of what we're getting at. Genesis 3, 16 through 19. Etiological stories about the origin of labor in the human experience, right? Bible's open, looking at these verses together. Notice that when God finished with the serpent, Satan, the names of God and the names of the evil one are very interesting because they have meanings, right? You know, Satan means accuser. He accuses us, right? The devil from Greek, diabolos, meaning the scatterer. This is what he accuses and he scatters, right? You know this to be true. After he deals with the serpent, the devil, then he moves into the human beings themselves, right? Verse 16 addresses Eve, etiological origin stories. With painful what? Labor, women will give birth to children, and this was interesting, and her desire, in Hebrew, really, you know what, when in Hebrew when you say the desire, it's the overflowing and the outstretching of the human heart. Thought, this is interesting, and ironic in all of this as well, will be for your husband, you know, and he will be the head of the family. Now, obviously, women have experienced difficult and painful labor, right, due to the stretching of the body in giving birth, but also in the stretching of her heart for her husband and children, right? This is always a bit of mystery for men, you know. We're kind of like, I've heard the male brain and the female brain are vastly different. One person described the male brain as an Indian trail. And then said, no, you know, for a woman's mind is more like a massive superhighway. And I think when guys are trying to understand, you know, and the women are like, well, it's all in the story. Her heart will be stretched for those in her sphere of influence, her husband, her children, as she labors, not only giving birth, but in her own work as well, right? Verses 17 through 19, the Lord turns his attention to Adam. Again, etiological origin story of how men end up doing hard work all their lives, and then they die. You go back to the ground. And again, the Hebrew is so interesting. Here's the word play. Some of you know this. We've talked about this in adult ed. In Hebrew, Adama means earth or ground, right? So Adam, through painful labor, would work the Adama in order to provide food and for his wife and children that they would need in order to survive. And then, as the old clergyman used to say at the gravesites, you remember this? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, right? Yeah, you know, guys say, you know, yeah, you work all your life like a slave and then you die. Well, thankfully in Christ, there's a lot more to it than just that, right? But I was looking recently, Paul's words on this too. You know, if a man does not provide for his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. There's something endemic. You must care for those whom God has placed in your sphere, so to speak. Wife, children, so forth. The least of these. That's why at Mosaic Church, we are very keen on helping those with benevolence in our church. and outside as well, because that's part of it, right? In the end, according to a more worldly viewpoint, labor of one sort or another is the lot of men and women. Now, you start off with a beautiful garden. God provides everything. Then through disobedience, the garden becomes off limits. We entered into a world that required difficult labor in order to survive. Is this some sort of cosmic joke? Is this a dirty trick? Is this a switch, bait and switch, so to speak? It depends on your perspective. And boy, the advertising industry in the United States is a multi-billion dollar industry. If you compare it to advertising in other parts of the world, you'd be shocked. You'd be shocked. How about this one? Kind of like the supposed dream job that was advertised. If we hire you, you will get a $250,000 company vehicle with a great view of the city, only to find out that means you could be a city bus driver. Now, you don't own the bus, and you're dealing with people, right? Huh. Or like the time when a guy got fired from his job at the bank because, you know, sometimes things are lost in interpretation. An elderly woman asked him to check her balance, and instead of checking her account information, he simply pushed the old lady over. And was fired, rightly so. How's your balance, seniors? You know, as people age, one of the most crucial things, any PT person or healthcare provider will tell you that your balance is so important. You know, especially as people get older, because when proverbial older person slips and falls, breaks a hip, then it's like really tough, right? How's your balance? Well, before life group begins, I think that's on the 11th, for a half hour, I teach the ancient Chinese art of Qi Kong. This is just movement stuff. It's nothing weird or pagan or anything. You know, the Chinese for years have just been watching animals, and then they imitate them. And what this turns out to be so interesting is it micro stretches all your body. So, you know, you've got the crane. I know this is a sermon, not weird time, you know. Or you got the wave, you know. And they're just imitating nature, and pretty soon it's like, whoo, that didn't hurt. I feel a lot better now. Stop pushing old people over and check your balance, folks. How about the book of Ecclesiastes? That's a grouchy old man, right? Grouchy old sage. He had a lot to say about laborious toil. For so many, it can feel meaningless, right? After a lifetime of busy but fruitful labor, he tells us, Ecclesiastes 2, so my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, but then they have to leave all of that to another who hasn't toiled for it. Have you given that any thought, those of you who are moving into the senior category, right? Who here who has not seen greedy and grabby family members waste their parents' and grandparents' inheritance? Oh, man. You know, as soon as I do a funeral and the final amen is said and we do the graveside, oh, then some families are off to the races. Horrible. Boy, you better get your head screwed on now before those days come. Some of you, like, oh, I can tell you stories. I bet you can, right? I don't know how many people have said, yeah, that useless inherited all that and it made them worse off. What do you want to do with all your hard-earned money that has come to you through labor? This is a spiritual question that you're going to want to pray about, right? The good news, we've said this 1,000 times here, you can take physical things that God has given, good things, and you can convert them into spiritual things, right? Oh, this is powerful. The assets, I'm not saying how much you got, not what, you have to be a good steward, God says, God's word says. So, you know, with what God has given you at this point in life, and I'm not just talking to seniors, you got to get on this one early. How do you want to take these physical things to do spiritual good, right? It's one of the reasons why we have a vigorous benevolence program here. Vigorous. And we get to share some of those cool stories from time to time. This gets so practical because money is spiritual, right? Well, money is the root of all kinds of evil. Well, yeah, to the unsanctified person, but to the believer in Jesus Christ, ooh, this is a powerful tool. It can be a weapon for good, or it could be a weapon for evil, right? You know these kinds of things, right? We've talked about this before. Community benevolence, single mothers, youth empowerment, investing in proven ministries of integrity, Mosaic Church, I would say, right? Completely free to engage our valley in this world with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I love this job, right? You invest money trusting that it will be used for kingdom purposes and not misappropriate. I take that very seriously as a heart attack, but in a good way, I guess. It's an opportunity. Consider the fruitful labor of Joel and Sheila Meyer in Indonesia. We just had them here, or had him here most recently. They are back. They're doing well. But, you know, the oldest, Toby, just found a skate park and broke his arm this week. Yeah, in this world you will have trouble, Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, right? And more on that, I'm so glad to have my dear friend, our friend, Sam Namalabe from East Africa, Uganda. God is doing tremendous things in Africa. Sometimes we say, what's the church doing in the U.S.? And there's plenty of good stuff, but man, let me tell you what, Africa's on fire. I mean, I've met a man who planted 70 churches. I've shared this, Pastor Ojiambo, and Greg set me up for that, and he's looking at me in the booth back there. He introduced me. I've shared this story. He said, Jim, this is Pastor Ojiambo. He's planted 70 churches. And I'm like, huh? And he said, oh, Pastor, this is Pastor Jim. He's planted one church. And Pastor Ojiambo is very concerned, and he's like, well, you're still kind of young. You've got more time. And I'm like, I'm good. It is a different thing in Africa than the United States that has been Christianized in some ways longer. But let me tell you, man, the pastors and missionaries and Christian workers are spreading the gospel throughout Africa. Churches are being raised up. God is being honored. And it is a privilege and a joy to see that. Because the Christian family is so much bigger than just what we see here, right? You're part of a worldwide family of believers. And remember that video by J. John I played a couple times? When he's on the plane, British smart aleck, and the lady says, and what do you do? And he said, well, I'm part of a global conglomerate. We have outlets in every place, in almost every place in the world. We have feeding programs and shelters and orphanages and all kinds of stuff. And our job is to take care of people basically from birth to death. And we specialize in the area of behavioral modification. Remember that? That's what we get to do. And the woman said, wow, what is it? I want to be a part of it. And she said, it's the church. And everybody in the plane was like, huh? I mean, we get to be a part of something really amazing. No hand-wringing, please. And I know we're in an election cycle and people are freaking out. Don't freak out. God's got this in control. No matter what happens, he's still on the throne, right? Hello. More on that in the days ahead. But welcome, Sam. We're so pleased to have you. And Sam will be sharing next week about what God is doing in Uganda. And as many of you know, this summer I've been back to Michigan twice. One was having a stateside reception for my son Josh and Shuhan. As you know, we're married in Western China. That was an adventure to get to. Kind of like in Uganda, when I go with Sam and sometimes the children's first time they see a Mzungu, and they either run up to you and touch you or they run screaming. It's two things. I experienced that in Kunming, Yunnan province, China, except the kids there were Chinese. And they're like, you know, like, it's a wild animal that just got loose. And they'd come up to me, and in China, though, they want pictures. They want to document and prove they touched a white man and survived. Look, I'm like, okay, come on in. It's sort of fun when you get to push the borders of the map, or at least for yourself. We get to be a part of that as Christians in so many ways. It's exciting, right? Well, being in Michigan, stateside wedding reception, and then my mom just had a hip replacement. That was fun. You know, I told the adult ed group today, it's like when the PA explained this to my mother about what they would be doing, she said, "Stop, I'm good." I mean, it's kind of scary what they do in there, and they put titanium parts that'll last 1,000 years or something. You remember the Bionic Man and Bionic Woman? That kind of thing. Anyway, back there, kind of a wake-up call for me in a way. Geez, we're all, none of us are getting any younger. Maybe I need to do a will. Oh, yeah, come on, Jim. Back to the clown thing, right? Well, it's not a lot of stuff, but it's like, that's an important thing to do. So I need to be thinking about that. You know, may not be a lot of money, but we get to choose where it goes. That's powerful as Christians, right? You know, Jesus talks more in the Bible, in the New Testament Gospels, about money than he does hell. Did you know this? Money must be spiritual. And our attitudes towards it and how we use it as stewards. If you're a born-again Christian, you don't own anything. You know this, right? We labor with joy. I love what Mother Teresa said. She was so right. She said, "To work without love is slavery." Now, I grew up in the Detroit area where a lot of automotive workers, and back then, they were paying them really good. In fact, we called General Motors generous motors. But many of them were not believers in Jesus. So, you know, they hated the job. And so what did they do? They bought cars, boats, and did a lot of cocaine. And then went up north to their cabins in the north to get away from it all for the weekend. And they did it for decades. You wonder why people from Detroit are just hard and mean. It's, you know, working on an assembly line is it kind of feels soulless for many people. I knew steel workers in Gary, Indiana who felt the same way when I pastored down there. You know, to labor without love is slavery. Well, but Jim, I make so much money in this job. Yeah, but you hate it and your family hates it because you're a jerk. Maybe you need to pray about that. Sometimes making a little less money and being happy and other people are happy because what you do affects other people, right? You know? You are sanctified in Jesus Christ, not just for yourself, but for the good of those around you. Amen? We need to take a broader view. Labor is spiritual, very spiritual. Well, yeah, I should think about that will. You know, I thought about it, you know, with what I have, I would like that money to go towards Christian ministries and evangelism and missions, and that's an investment. It's a seed, right? Don't you want that as well? We don't have much time. And the older you are, the people will tell you the time really starts speeding up, right? Where did all the time go, right? You grow up when you're young saying, when am I going to be an adult? When am I going to be older? And when you're older, you're like, I wish I wasn't. Sounds laborious. I've heard people say, Jim, don't get old. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard. I'm beginning to learn, right? Seal coat in my driveway last 2 days. It's like, I had to sit down a lot more. It's like, what happened? That's just dirty labor, but it's got to be done, right? That's why I like Mike Rowe. You ever watch Dirty Jobs? Those are the guys that make America, those women. Worth looking into. I guess the bottom line is I want my life's labor to mean something, don't you? Whatever that may be. Don't you want to hear one day Jesus Christ saying, well done, my good and faithful servant? You get to decide that. Do you know that? That's a choice, right? Don't you want to know what the author of Hebrews said? By faith, he or she still speaks even though they're dead. Did you know the righteous dead still speak by their actions and their deeds? Right? I mean, the Roman philosopher Seneca said, what more can you expect? What more can you hope for is to be loved during your life and grieved in your death? Have you ever been to a funeral where nobody came? I have. Or, well, That was a mean old SOB. I've seen it, heard it. Ooh, you don't want that. You don't want that. You don't have to have that. That's not God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Your life and labor can mean something. You want God, you want to hear those words of Jesus. Well done, my good and faithful servant. By faith, they still speak even though they're dead. You know, I still listen to Billy Graham sermons. I mean, I'm just, it's like, Greg will show me a sermon or whatever and I'll be reading it. It's like from 1955 and it could have been written yesterday. Because the truths of God's word are timeless, right? They're classics. Bible is the best-selling classic of all time. The problem is that we need to pull it off more and actually open it. Because it's the words of life and truth. Make your labor worth something. I know you all want that. What kind of legacy of labor do you want to leave behind? What will you prayerfully invest to make that happen? Right? We got to be intentional and prayerful in all of this. And you know what? Since we are talking about your hard, meaningful labor and mine, I'm just going to go there this morning. I don't talk a lot about money.
All you just want is our money.
No. Seniors preach this sermon, when your room is ready in heaven, and that's coming up, what if in your inheritance you helped destroy the last $80,000 of your church's mortgage? You know, they say, you know, life looks a lot different when the mortgage is paid off, doesn't it? Ooh, we got wiggle room. You know, the lanes open up. What's the world say? Again, this is more negative and worldly. Well, life begins when the kids leave the house and the dog dies. No. I know, isn't that terrible? I can't imagine my life without a dog. You know? And I'm a pet guy. So is Deb. I mean, if we didn't have a pet, we'd probably kill each other. I don't know. Don't tell her I said that. She'd probably agree, though. You know, here at Mosaic Church, I mean, we have a lot of fun. Wouldn't it be a delicious final act for you in which you, in your own way, could say a resounding yes to the continued work of Jesus Christ in this fallen world while shunning Satan as you laugh all the way to heaven? You can do this, actually. We're so American, we like a double dip. We like a twofer. Two for one. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Here at Mosaic Church, we love to have fun while living out our lives as a spiritual family, which is a labor of love, right? Do you love the labor that God's called you to, right? We are on powerful mission together. You know, and seeing one of the things I love about this church is when we did this thing, the seniors were ready to be on mission. They weren't just sitting there, you know, men pulling up their plaid pants up to their necks and complaining full time about the government. I hate that. God's called to so much more in Christ Jesus, but you got to have a plan. I remember talking with Joan as she was getting ready to retire, and we sat down a couple of times and said, what would life in ministry look like now that the lanes have opened up a bit? Isn't that cool? And she's been up to some really cool stuff. OCC, disaster chaplain with Billy Graham, among other things. This is a woman who's thought and prayed about her retirement as an opportunity to serve the kingdom. This is so good. But guys, what are you going to do in your retirement? I'm going to play a lot of golf. Like every day? Probably not. You're probably going to sit there and just, you know, binge watch stuff till your eyes bleed and get fat and unhappy. It's not a good idea. You know, kind of like the time, Billy. When after 50 years of work and hard labor at a company, Mr. Jones retired. There he is. Mr. Jones is everywhere, right? And he looked forward to some rest and relaxation, but his wife had other ideas. Uh-oh. And again, you better have a prayerful plan, people. Well, Mrs. Jones insisted that now that he had time, she wanted him to take her to the mall every single day. Ooh, right? So he was bored and he had to find creative ways to have fun while there. But if you don't have a plan, you're just going to cause trouble, right? What do they say? Idle hands are the... devil's workshop. Oh, this happened to Mr. Jones, and Mrs. Jones didn't even know because she was just doing her thing at the mall. You know, she got a letter sometime later, official letter from the mall, said this, "Dear Mrs. Jones," "over the past 6 months, your husband has labored hard to create constant commotion at the shopping center. We can no longer tolerate his behavior. We're now forced to permanently ban both of you from the mall premises forever." And Mrs. Jones was freaking out. What do you do? She was off shopping and he was up to no good. This is a record we've taken from security surveillance cameras. On July 2nd, your husband, Mr. Jones, set all the alarm clocks and housewares to go off at 5 minute intervals. That would be, there he is. Look, he's just smiling, thinking you did bad, Mr. Jones, but there's more. On July 7th, he pretended to be a manager and he told an employee that there was a code 3 and that he better get on it right away. This caused the young employee to leave his assigned station, which resulted in a reprimand from his supervisor. This resulted in a union grievance as well. Besides, we don't even have a code 3 at the mall. On July 14, Mr. Jones went to the service desk and tried to put a bag of M&Ms on layaway. Anybody still use layaway? July 19th, he moved a caution wet floor sign to a carpeted area. There he is, just smiling. Devil's workshop, here we go. July 27th, when a clerk asked if she could help him, he began to cry and he screamed, "Why can't you people just leave me alone?" EMTs were called. August 1st, while handling guns in the hunting department, he asked the clerk where the antidepressants were. Ooh. On August 5th, he hid in a clothing rack and frightened browsing customers while yelling, "Pick me, pick me." And the final straw for Mr. and Mrs. Jones was this. On August 9th, he went into a fitting room, shut the door, waited a while, and yelled out very loudly, "Hey, there's no toilet paper in here," causing one of the clerks to pass out. Well, after all, we like to say it, and we've said it several times here at Mosaic Church, life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a well-preserved body. Have you ever heard, and I have several times, I'm planning on dying healthy. Why? That's not God's will for you in Christ Jesus, though I wish you good health, of course. But really, it's really to skid in broadside, thoroughly used up, totally worn out while proclaiming as a Christian, wow, what a ride. Amen? Let's be like that. Isn't that the kind of loving legacy of labor you want to pass on in the name of Jesus Christ? It's going to look different for different ones because God has made you unique, but we get to be on mission, right? Of course, that's what you want. So in closing, I wish you and yours, God bless you, a very happy and blessed Labor Day. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. You have caused us to work. And it's hard sometimes, Lord, but we know that in those trials and tribulations, you are working in us perseverance and endurance. You are helping us to provide for the ones that we love and to help build the kingdom in meaningful ways. And I just pray on this Labor Day weekend, we would consider all your great mercies, your benefits, with great thanks to you, and that we would prayerfully consider how you would have us be even better stewards of what you've given us, whether that be money or lands or things or whatever that may be, knowing that our hope is not in things but in you, Jesus, who raised from the dead and are now at the right hand of God, your Father. So, Lord, as we enjoy this Labor Day weekend, we pray that you would help us to be more faithful stewards of everything you've given us, and we do it with thankfulness in Jesus Christ's name, saying, Amen.